We have one speaker and we have one interviewer tonight. And the speaker is Greg Sheridan, who's known to many. That's the reason why many have come tonight. And he will be. So the way it works is Greg will speak for the first half of the about 20, 25 minutes. And then Mark Sneddon, who is seated here, will introduce shortly, will interview Greg for the next 20, 25 minutes. And then for that last 15 minutes or so, we'll have a couple of guys running around with the microphones, fielding questions from people of Greg, okay? Because no doubt, I expect there might be one or two questions. I've got a sneaking suspicion there might be one or two questions. I'd be staggered if there wasn't any. So I'll just I'll get Greg and Mark to come up now, please. And I'll ask them each a little question. I've prepped them up a little question each. So Greg, this is Greg Sheridan here, everyone. So Greg, tell us, what do you like to do in your spare time, you have?
Well, Philip, I want to reassure my wife I don't have any spare time, that I'm... I'm really doing constructive, busy things for the house all the time, even when it might look differently. But I have to say, one of the most fun things I do, but it's very happenstance, is enjoy the company of the grandkids. And we've got three grandchildren. Tatiana, a boy who glories in the name of Greg Jr., and he has just the temperament you'd want. He's a Christian terrorist. He's 4 years old, and he wants, wherever he sees harmony, he sows discord. Wherever he sees calm, he sows... But then he seeks and gives forgiveness straight after. So he bullies his older sister and makes her cry, and then he goes and gives her a big hug and says, "Oh, sorry, Tatiana." And we have a Melbourne-based granddaughter, Manisha, who is really the apple of my eye. She's just turned 5. And I am her slave, and I enjoy the condition of slavery. I'm like the Old Testament tribe asking to go back into slavery, you know. And we saw her, we took her to a play centre recently, and we were taking her back to her dad's car afterwards, and she said, she calls me Dada, she said, "Dada, you can carry me." I said, "Oh, thank you, darling," and I picked her up. And I said, I'm a lucky man, aren't I?" And she said, "Yes, you're a lucky old man." And I said, "Hey, that's a bit cheeky." And she thought, "Hang on, there's a limit to how you treat slaves." So she said, "I didn't say you're an old man. I said you live in an old house. I said you are a lucky old house man." I thought, boy, she could be a politician, just like that.
Thank you. So, Mark, you're here as well, and the reason you're at the front is you're going to ask Greg some questions in the second half of this what we have before us here. And so just you spend 3 to 3.5 days a week as a practicing lawyer, and the other day to day and a half, you head up, I believe, a think tank, the Institute for Civil Society. And in around all that, what did you do today? What did you spend time doing today?
Well, today I was with Boyd scoring cricket at for Chris and for Alistair. there were some highlights there for both of them. And then in the afternoon I was working on the Institute for Civil Society while my wife was busily cleaning up the outside and pruning branches and doing things like that. And when the neighbour said, "I'd like to prune the ash tree on your side," I said, "Go ahead, but I've got a deadline and I can't help you." What I was doing was the Association for Christian Higher Education is making a submission to the Federal Education Department about new policies in relation to academic freedom. There's a report come out to increase academic freedom for students and academics at universities, targeted at stopping PC, political correctness, squashing them, but nobody thought how that would apply in the context of a faith-based higher education institution. So we've now got a rule saying academics can say what they like, students can say what they like. Well, that's the draft rule anyway. And so the faith-based higher education institutions are thinking, hang on, what if we get students or academics saying Catholicism's crap, or, you know, Islam is ridiculous, or these particular doctrines are wrong and so on? Should we not have some recourse in relation to staff members and things like that? So that's what I've been working on, is a submission to help them make that point about trying to get some qualifications around that. But it's just another front in, I think, what Greg's going to talk about, which is this tension in Western societies between secularisation, just assuming that the secular way is right all the time, and sort of having a juggernaut role over faith-based institutions. And that's what the Institute for Civil Society is spending a lot of its time on at the moment, is the Religious Discrimination Bill, and trying to improve that and get that right and rebut some of the silly things that are being written about that in the newspapers. And if you want to see any of that work that we're doing, you can look us up on Facebook, Institute for Civil Society on Facebook, or we have a website which is i4cs.com.au, or just Google Institute for Civil Society and you'll find us.
Thanks, mate. I'm going to pray for both these guys quickly, and then Greg will take off by himself a little bit. Father God, I pray that you'll bless Greg and Mark this evening as they share. Mark, as he asks the questions, that when he asks the question, might prompt Greg to respond in a way that really speaks from his heart and speaks from his experience and speaks with wisdom that will really impact the hearts and minds of those men and women here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.